Welcome back to the Anger Reset. In this module, we consider our first anger style, open aggression. Here are the learning objectives for this session. We will define open aggression and its cues. Remember that time you slammed a door? Maybe it was a car door, maybe an office door, maybe your bedroom door, maybe even the front door to the house. But open aggression is when anger bursts out. Raised voices, outbursts, confrontations. And Scripture calls this type of anger a work or act of the flesh. In Galatians 5:19-20, we read that the acts of the flesh are obvious, and included in the list is fits of rage. We will identify the cues that signal the presence of open aggression. Physical cues, behavioral cues, and verbal cues. We'll consider three examples of open aggression from Scripture. Three events where men engaged in open aggression and what we can learn from their experiences. We'll consider the root causes of open aggression. We'll look at physiological drivers, what happens in our body when we get angry. We'll conduct a quick review of the autonomic nervous system and the amygdala hijack that primes explosive energy. We will consider psychological drivers, common thought patterns that fuel rage. Thoughts like, they must respect me, or I won't be ignored. And we'll consider Scripture that speaks to open aggression, how the flesh and the dynamics of spiritual warfare create a perfect storm that tempts us to respond with an outburst. Then we will apply the anger reset method in an open aggression scenario. So what is open aggression? Open aggression is externalized anger expressed through forceful words or actions. And there are three key signs or cues of open aggression. As I previously mentioned, physical, verbal, and behavioral cues. The physical cues include tension, clenched fists or jaw, tightly crossed arms, an adrenaline surge, a flushed face, a rapid breathing, a pounding heart, impulsive movements, like stomping feet or pacing back and forth. In addition to the physical cues, there are verbal cues, a raised voice, volume spikes, shouting or a roaring tone, threats or ultimatums, do this or else, blunt, cutting language, harsh criticisms, name-calling, sarcasm, intended to wound. Behavioral cues, like outbursts, the slamming of doors, throwing objects, abrupt exits, a domineering posture, looming over others or pointing aggressively at them. Open aggression carries a cost, so why do we engage in it? Well, open aggression feels like gaining control in the moment, but Proverbs 29:22 warns, "An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins." The short-term payoff of open aggression is that people comply out of fear or shock. But open aggression carries long-term costs. Guilt, shame, broken trust, and relational distance. As we move forward, we'll learn to spot these cues early and use the anger reset steps to transform potentially explosive moments into opportunities to display spirit-led grace and peace. Well, now let's peel back the layers behind explosive anger, examining both the body's hardwired reaction and the mind's habitual patterns that fuel open aggression. Understanding these roots gives us the power to interrupt its cycle early. We begin with some examples of open aggression in Scripture. Three Old Testament figures, Cain, Moses, and King Saul, vividly illustrate for us how unaddressed anger metastasizes into open aggression, and how even the most intimate relationship with God can be undermined when the heart's fury goes unchecked. Let's begin with Cain. In Genesis 4, Cain and his brother Abel each presented a sacrifice to the Lord. God accepted Abel's offering but rejected Cain's. This became a trigger for Cain, igniting envy, a blend of wounded pride and perceived injustice. God warned Cain that sin is crouching at your door, inviting him to rule over it. Instead, Cain suppressed his grief, allowing resentment to fester. Eventually, Cain's anger manifested with an outburst, the first recorded human murder. Cain lured Abel into the field and killed him. Cain's aggression fractured his bond with God and with his brother, destroying relationship through the expression of hostility. Although Cain displayed a veneer of religiosity, envy and shame lurked beneath the surface. By refusing the Lord's invitation to surrender these root emotions, Cain let the flesh and his self-centered desires control his conduct. Well, next we encounter Moses at Meribah in Numbers 20, verses 1 to 13. In the wilderness, the Israelites grumbled over thirst and the lack of water. Their grumbling served as a trigger to awaken Moses' frustration and self-centered perspective on his leadership role. God previously instructed Moses to strike a rock at Mount Horeb in Exodus chapter 17. Water flowed from the rock after he struck it, foreshadowing that living water would come through Christ when he was stricken. But this time, at Meribah, God told Moses to speak to the rock, foreshadowing that after the crucifixion, our living rock, Jesus Christ, would provide living water to those who asked for it. With his focus on the Israelites' grumbling instead of on the Lord, Moses struck the rock twice in his anger, misrepresenting God in the process. Moses' violent and disobedient outburst was a loss of composure for Moses, and the consequences were severe. Moses' act disqualified him from entering the promised land, an example of how a moment's rage can derail God's promises. That brings us to Saul's jealous rage in 1 Samuel 18 and 19. King David's victories and increasing popularity served as a trigger to provoke Saul's envy, compounded by fear of losing the kingship. Saul's anger spiraled into paranoid scheming, making multiple attempts on David's life, from javelin assaults to death hunts. Saul's outbursts resulted in erratic behavior, including rages and violent fits, alienating Saul from God and his people. Saul's initial anointing by God collapsed under the weight of his unbridled wrath, illustrating that divine favor cannot coexist with unchecked, open aggression. The spirit that once empowered Saul departed and was replaced by an evil spirit from the Lord, underscoring the spiritual cost to Saul for his persistent rage. Saul engaged in an all-or-nothing thinking distortion. He viewed David's success as a total threat, no nuance or grace margin. His anger created a foothold for the enemy. His festering anger opened the door to demonic oppression, demonstrating Ephesians 4:27 in stark historical context. In each of these examples, we see a common pattern, a triggered thought that led to a hidden emotion, be it envy, frustration, or fear, which unexamined and unsubmitted to God erupted as open aggression. These biblical examples remind us that the reset steps, recognizing the cues, engaging the spirit, settling the body, energizing the soul, and treating others with grace, aren't mere theory, but vital practices to interrupt this tragic arc of anger. As we proceed, reflect on your own potential parallels. Where might a crouching sin of envy or frustration lie dormant in you? How can God's grace invite you to confess it to Him before the flame of aggression ignites? Well, let's turn our attention now to the roots of open aggression as it relates to body and soul, the physiological and psychological roots. Let's begin with the physiological roots. Open aggression begins in the brain with the amygdala hijack we discussed in the previous lecture. The amygdala is like an alarm station. It constantly scans for threats. When it senses danger, be it real or perceived, it can cut off the thinking brain, the prefrontal cortex, and trigger an immediate fight or flight response. Our sympathetic nervous system then surges. It's like pressing down the gas pedal. It floods your system with adrenaline and noradrenaline, and this produces physical effects. The heart pounds fiercely, sending oxygen to muscles. Breathing becomes rapid and shallow. Muscles tense up, preparing you to strike or flee. And this creates a hormonal cascade. Adrenaline sparks the immediate rush, that flushed face, trembling hands, and urgent energy. And if the threat lingers, cortisol pours in to sustain alertness, keeping the heart rate elevated and blood sugar high. The liver boosts blood sugar for fuel, which can leave you jittery and on edge long after the initial outburst. The prefrontal cortex goes offline, suspending our logic and capacity for empathy. You might be asking, why does all of this matter? Well, these physiological reactions happen before we are even aware. So by the time we realize we're angry, our body is already primed for aggression. Now let's consider the psychological roots of open aggression. Just like with Cain, Moses, and Saul, open aggression starts with a trigger that causes us to focus on a fleshly or selfish desire. It might be a perceived act of disrespect, a cutting tone or dismissive gesture that feels like a personal attack. It might be a perceived injustice that triggers your anger. When we feel wronged and cry out, "That's not fair," our mind lights the fuse. A loss of power is another trigger that happens when we feel controlled or helpless. It sparks a fight response to reclaim control. Cognitive distortions also contribute to open aggression. These are those habitual, biased ways of thinking that twist or exaggerate reality, leading to unhelpful emotions and behaviors. In session one, we talked about personalization, where we interpret events as if they're all about us. We also mentioned catastrophizing, where we blow things out of proportion and assume a worst-case scenario like, "This mistake will ruin everything for me." And then there's all-or-nothing thinking that creates polarization. If they don't agree with me, they must be against me. Another psychological dynamic in open aggression is captured in the anger iceberg that we mentioned briefly in session one. The anger iceberg is a metaphor illustrating that what we see, our outward anger, is just the small tip of a much larger set of hidden emotions. Above the surface, we see the visible expressions of anger, yelling, slamming doors, irritability. But below the surface are deeper feelings that fuel that anger. Offense, hurt, fear, shame, rejection, insecurity, or grief. Masking is the practice of expressing raw anger rather than become vulnerable by revealing those hidden feelings below the surface. Just as an iceberg's bulk lies underneath and out of sight, the true drivers of anger often remain hidden until we pause and dive beneath the surface to uncover those underlying emotions. By acknowledging and addressing what's underneath, we can reset anger at its root rather than merely react to its visible symptoms. Why do the psychological roots matter? If we only address the explosive behavior, we miss the deeper emotional and cognitive fuel powering that volcano of rage. Transformation is possible when God's grace meets that emotional and cognitive fuel source. Let's consider what happens when we integrate the open aggression roots of the body and the soul and the mind. When disrespect sparks the amygdala and your thoughts instantly assume the worst, you've combined both roots into one perfect storm for open aggression, the physical and the psychological, the body and the soul. But by spotting the warning lights on the dashboard, a pounding heart, or that catastrophic thought, you can initiate the anger reset before the explosion occurs. The first step in the anger reset is to recognize the physical and psychological cues. When we recognize those cues, we engage the spirit to take thoughts captive. And then we can settle our body whether with breathing, with prayer, with counting, whatever works for us to settle the physical side. We can energize our soul with scripture that reframes that trigger by renewing our mind to God's truth and the leading of the Holy Spirit, re-engaging our prefrontal cortex. And then we can treat the situation with a grace-filled and Holy Spirit-led action plan. Now let's look at some biblical wisdom about open aggression. We're going to look at four passages of Scripture. The first is James 1, 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This verse provides us with wisdom about how rapid reactivity, both verbal and emotional, short circuits a thoughtful response. James warns that our instinct to speak out or lash out only fuels ungodly patterns. It also informs us that human anger left unchecked contradicts God's righteousness. Slow to anger signals a spirit-filled posture of patience and listening. When we apply this verse to open aggression, it tells us that when we feel that surge to strike out, recall this injunction. Pause. Listen intently. Calibrate your words and emotions against God's word and His standard of justice. Then Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The parallelism in this verse contrasts the gentle response with its destructive counterpart. This verse reminds us how our choice of tone and phrasing can either diffuse an escalating conflict or intensify it. A strategic takeaway from Proverbs 15:1 is that in moments of open aggression, when volume and force are the default, this proverb calls us to deliberately adopt a soft answer as a mechanism of de-escalation. The next passage is in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Here, the Apostle Paul acknowledges the legitimacy of anger. You're going to be angry. Yet, he insists it must not mature into sin. This verse references the spiritual warfare dimension of anger, that lingering resentment provides a foothold for the enemy to exploit, leading to bitterness and division. When we connect this verse to open aggression, we're reminded that explosive anger often masks unresolved wounds. This text urges prompt resolution, turning raw emotion into swift confession and forgiveness, thereby denying Satan a strategic entry point. And finally, Psalm 37, verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. In this verse, the psalmist exhorts restraint, linking unbridled anger to moral decline. It tends only to evil. Habitual aggression corrodes character and community. This verse broadens our view. Anger isn't just disruptive, it's inherently misaligned with the flourishing of God's kingdom. How do we cultivate the self-control that "fret not yourself" implies? Well, the answer lies in embedding these truths within our reset practice, rooting out the patterns that lead to open aggression and replacing them with spirit-led and grace-empowered peace. Well, let's combine these four passages. James gives us a method. Be quick to hear, slow to anger. Proverbs offers a tool, a soft answer. Ephesians presents the boundary. Don't let anger fester. And the Psalm supplies the vision. Anger only leads to evil. Together, these passages furnish a robust response for transforming explosive anger into redemptive, Christ-like responses. They help us process behavior and thoughts with biblical wisdom. But let's go a little deeper into the spirit aspect of our spirit-soul-body analysis. To understand why open aggression is more than a behavioral problem, and why it demands a faith choice solution, we turn to two watershed texts. Galatians 5:19-23, and Ephesians 4:22-24. These passages map the contours of our spiritual battleground, showing us that every outburst of rage is a choice between two masters, two competitors for the wheel, the flesh or the spirit. In Galatians 5:19-23, the acts of the flesh, the works of the flesh are listed for us. And that passage in part reads, "Now the works of the flesh are plain, fits of anger. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Fits of anger is listed among the works of the flesh, behaviors that stem from our unrenewed nature, what the Bible also refers to as our old man or our old self. Open aggression finds its root here as an expression of inward indignation turned outward without the Spirit's tempering influence. Note how anger corresponds with other relational sins like strife and divisions and contrasts sharply with the fruit of the Spirit, peace and gentleness, the very antidotes to explosive rage. Every act of open aggression is a fruitless outgrowth of the flesh, incompatible with the believer's new identity in Jesus. It reveals who's in the driver's seat. Now let's consider Ephesians 4:22-24, put off and put on. We read, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Think about the old self as our original flesh software. Pre-conversion, programmed for aggression, reactive aggression, and pleasing selfish sensual desires. This passage echoes Romans 12:2's call to our need to transform our thought patterns, to renew our minds, a vital pivot for disarming the cognitive distortions that fuel anger. The new self represents the upgrade we receive when we're born again. Ezekiel 36:26-27 tell us that we receive a new heart, a new spirit, and the Holy Spirit. We become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that resided in Jesus Christ during His earthly ministry resides in you. Our sin is forgiven. Romans 5:5 tells us that we have the love of God poured into our hearts. This new Spirit we have received doesn't want to sin, it wants to please God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that we're cleansed, we're sanctified, we're set apart, we're justified before God. This new self reflects the grace, the life, and love of Jesus Christ, not lashings of rage. The Apostle Paul instructs us to put off the old self, it's not who we are anymore, and put on the new self. Live out that upgrade we've received in Jesus Christ. This brings us to what I call the faith choice opportunity we have when we engage in spiritual warfare against open aggression. Paul's language implies a deliberate decision point. You put off the old self and put on the new, two mutually exclusive trajectories. This is dynamic warfare. Open aggression surfaces when we default to the flesh, when we give the flesh control of the wheel. We let anger erupt. But each moment invites us to choose, will I yield to the Spirit's leading or respond to the flesh's temptations? This is a practical outworking in the heat of a conflict. You face a spiritual fork in the road. The warning lights on the dashboard are flashing. Do I surrender these simmering thoughts to Jesus Christ and give the Spirit control of the wheel? Or do I give the wheel to the flesh and stoke those thoughts into open aggression. Now let's bring this all together and apply the anger reset steps to open aggression. The first step in the anger reset is recognize the cues. Acknowledge the temptation to engage in flesh-driven anger as a spiritual alarm, not merely a physiological or psychological phenomenon. The instant you notice the physical cues, that tight jaw, your face is flush, the racing heart, or your fists are clenched, say internally, pause. This is anger rising. It's time to reset. Neuroscientists show even a 1 second naming lowers the amygdala output. Engage the spirit is the second step. Take those angry thoughts captive and reframe them. When we are thinking thoughts like, they're humiliating me, is that a fact or is it fear? 2 Corinthians 10:5 commands that we demolish arguments, challenge those distortions, replace the lie with truth, take those thoughts captive, replace them. Tell yourself, my worth is secure in Jesus Christ. I can respond, not I don't have to react. The Lord's love in me is slow to anger. Remember Galatians 5's promise, the fruit of the Spirit is one of those is self-control. And ask the Holy Spirit for grace to resist the angry thoughts as you take those thoughts captive. The third step in the anger reset is settle the body and soul. Take intentional steps to pause the anger hijack of your body and soul. Take a few deep breaths, count to 10, take a time out from the conversation, take a walk, whatever helps you reset the anger and demonstrate that you're a new person in Christ. Pray. Lord, grant me the grace to exercise self-control. And then the fourth step, energize the soul. Renew your mind by declaring Scripture, God's truth, for your situation. Lord, sometimes I'm quick to anger, but you are my peace. Ephesians 2:14. Hearing truth engages the auditory cortex, reinforcing calm. Remember all the good things you have in Jesus Christ. Philemon verse 6. I've been created in true righteousness and holiness. The new spirit that Jesus has given me does not want to sin. It wants to please God. Recite the scriptures we referenced earlier from James, Proverbs, Ephesians, and Psalms. These thoughts replace the thoughts coming at you from the flesh, the world, or the devil. Those impulses that want you to explode in anger. Maybe write some scriptures down and keep them in your sight line daily if you struggle with this anger style. And the final step in the anger reset is treat with grace. Choose a responsive act of grace, speaking truth in love rather than striking out in fleshly anger. Make an action plan for self-control. Replace outbursts with an assertive, respectful statement. I'm upset. I need 5 minutes. This signals boundaries without blame and models spirit-led strength. The anger reset steps integrate spirit, soul, and body. In closing this session, open aggression is never a mere accident of temperament. It is making a choice to give the wheel to the flesh rather than the spirit. It's looking at your circumstances and emotions rather than remembering your identity in Christ and giving the wheel to the Holy Spirit. When we give in to open aggression, we behave like we did when we wore the old self, rather than recognizing that we are clothed in the new self. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. The Lord has given us everything we need to respond by faith when the open aggression dashboard light flashes. When we see the dashboard warning, we can give the wheel to the Holy Spirit and pray, Lord, I give my angry thoughts to you. Grant me the grace to overcome for the glory of Jesus Christ. This lecture has equipped you not only to understand the mechanics of open aggression, but to engage it and reset it by making faith choices and dependence on the Holy Spirit. So let's consider some reflection questions for this session. Which physical sign of aggression do you notice first, and what will you do to pause the next time it happens? What cognitive distortion fuels your rage? Personalization, catastrophizing, or something else? How does understanding flesh versus spirit or old self versus new self empower you to make faith choices? Which step of the anger reset plan will you practice first? And when? Take a few moments now to consider your answers. Ask the Lord for deeper wisdom about resetting open aggression. Remember, each time you choose the Spirit's way over the flesh's fury, you're living out your identity in Jesus Christ. In this module, we've learned that the Father would have us be slow to anger. 9 times in the Bible, God is described as being slow to anger. We've learned that God's agape is not easily angered, 1 Corinthians 13:5. And Romans 5:5 tells us that God's agape love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And 1 John 4:17 tells us that as He is, so are we in this world. Because He lives in us and has given us a spirit that wants to please Him, we have hope and power to reset open and explosive anger. God doesn't call us to suppress our anger, but to name it, confess it, and submit it to the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit and the grace that Jesus Christ provides, we can transform the fire of aggression into His light of truth and grace. Now may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless as you learn to exchange rage for self-control in the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.